conference, Jackie, where we talked about what are the best tools for you to self-promote, and when you do need the help of a specialist like herself to go further in your, you know, affirming your authority, for affirming your message, etc. Now, today she's continuing on the same level, but bringing another very interesting topic, which I think is what most of us really are after, is to know the in and outs and how to do public speaking. So, Jackie, you take it from here, baby.
Thank you. Thank you, Liani and Christopher. I am thrilled to be here and to continue the work that we started last week. And we have certainly been working to help speakers move into the spotlight. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about how to do that. And then we'll talk a little bit more about, toward the end, the kinds of things that you can do to facilitate that even more quickly. So let's talk about, you know, what you really need to be ready to begin speaking. What you have to have in your arsenal. What are the arrows in your quiver, so to speak, to begin public speaking? The first is, do you need to improve your presentation skills? That's a really important one. In about a week or two, we're going to have a new resource page on our website, Conscious and Transformational Speakers, that if you're not really confident about your speaking skills, that this will be some ways to get really going on that. But, you know, you have to have practiced and gotten to the point where you're comfortable in front of a crowd. You know, some of the elements to do that is you have to have a speech outlined and drafted. You don't want to just stand in front of a stage, and as much as we all like to think that we can be intuitive and just let it flow, the truth is the better speeches are those that have been mapped out and really developed to the point where you know what's working and what's not working. And yes, it can kind of be a little bit in the moment, but it really needs to have the elements in it that you have already calculated, determined, and positioned so that you are ready to go. Let me talk about some of the elements that would be in a speech of that type. So a 1 hour to a one and a half hour speech, these are the things that you would really want to have. It would touch on your personal, authentic story and how you came to teach the work that you are teaching. People want to identify with you. They want to know who the person is that's doing that. And certainly, you know, you want to create some dramatic ascendancy that you can show where you were and how you've come to this place. It's a really critical aspect. You need to let them feel you and get inside and have a sense of who you are. The next thing is, have you established your expertise? This is a really important factor. And, you know, you need to make them feel that you know this field, whatever it is. You can talk to the experience you've had. You can talk to your education. You can talk to the case histories you've done with other people. You know, you need to establish that you're not just someone who's come off the turnip truck, that you have the experience to make them trust you. The next thing is that you want to explain what the need is. Why are you addressing this topic? What is the problem that is out there that people identify with? You know, you have to establish that there's a need before you can establish that there's a solution. So that's the next thing. And there are many ways to do that, dramatically, impactfully. The next thing is, have you painted a picture that makes your audience identify with what is missing in their lives or in their knowledge? So you have there's a problem out there, but you also want to make them to feel like, oh, I need that. I'm without that element, or, you know, in order to get from where I am now to where I need to go, I have to learn this. So you've identified, help make them identify what's missing in their lives. And the next thing is, does your speech make them feel? This is a really important thing. You want them to have an emotional response to it. You know, there's a wonderful phrase, and I think it's Marianne Williamson who said, they won't necessarily remember your words, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And so the speeches that are most memorable and that most motivate people are the ones that, in fact, address their inner emotional core. You want to determine, have you made the case that your information and guidance is the solution to the problem that you have established? You want to make them say, oh, God, this person has it. I have to get this information because they know it, and they are the solution. And have you imparted this information with compassion, wisdom, humor, clarity, and dynamism? You know, humor is always a great thing to insert in a speech, but there's more to it than that. You know, you need to make them understand that you are concerned about them, that you really want to help them. Too often people come across as, I'm delivering information, but it's not so much about how you can help, because they need to feel your compassion in the context of this in order to connect with you. Have you engaged the audience in acknowledgments, exercises, and questions? A lot of time a speech is made to really sing by the interaction between the speaker and the people sitting in those chairs. And you can do that a lot of ways. You know, you can obviously get them to raise their hand to questions or to, talk to each other in little dyads. Or to respond to, individually to questions that you pose. You know, all of that gets them engaged. You know, you want to keep them from falling asleep, and this is the one way to do it. One of the things I have seen a lot of times, though, are speakers who do this too often. You get to the point where it's, all right, already, I don't have to participate anymore. I just want to listen to you. So you have to really run a wonderful, a barrier to where, you know, the there's a good side to that and there's a bad side. So you want to stay on the good side of that. And then, again, if you're offering further education, have you worked and tested your ability to enroll people gracefully as an invitation and not a sales pitch? Now, this is really important. Most of us in the spiritual world really hate the concept of selling. And that's because you have the impression you're pushing something on somebody. But the truth is that you're helping people, and you want to enroll them. You want to invite them. You want to make them feel as if you're there to serve them, which is what we really are. So you're really coming from a place of service. This is really an important aspect of this. So, you know, all of those things are what make up a good speech. Now, you know, once you've got all that packaged up, have you presented and rehearsed it? Now, you can do this in front of a bunch of friends. You can do this in front of a small test group. You can do it at a little retreat or workshop where you're just really developing the ideas and making and seeing what works and tweaking it. But you have to begin to rehearse it. And one of the things that you'll find is the more practiced you are, the better off you'll be. And when you are practiced, we can talk a little bit more about confidence, but you're going to have confidence, which is one of the most important things. When you stand in front of an audience, having confidence is what makes them believe in you so that they can believe that you can believe in them. So that's a really important element. We can talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So have you had someone critique your speech? That's an important factor. You know, you want to get somebody who's more established than you to take a look at it. One of the great ways to really get more experience is actually to participate in the National Speakers Association, which is a great organization that trains speakers, and you can see some of the greatest speakers there, and you can look and see what they're doing to see what you might be doing. Another means to do that is the Toastmasters. That's a great place to get people to critique. They'll listen consciously and kindly, and then they'll offer constructive criticism. So Toastmasters is a great way to get your skills up to speed. Now, are you clear on what the goal of the speech is? A lot of times people go into it and they say, well, I just want to impart my information. But the truth of the matter is, you know, if you're going to be an effective speaker, you're probably going to want people, bring people along in your community. You're going to want them to begin to work with you on various different programs. And so it's very important that before you even write the speech, you know where you're headed. You don't want to kind of wander down the path and be ineffective. By knowing what it is that you want them to do, whether you're going to get them into a coaching program, whether you want them to buy your book, whatever it is, you need to know that before you actually finalize your speech and so that it's built into that process. And are you making an offer, extending an invitation? If you are, then you really need to, you know, have clarity on what it is that you're going to be able to portray to them that they will get out of it. So that's really important. So that's, you know, basically the aspect of speaking itself. Now, what do you need to have in terms of tools? Now, we talked a little bit last time about the tools for PR. These are the tools that you're going to need to be effective as a speaker. The first thing is you need a well-written bio, and a really important thing is the sell sheet. The sell sheet is critical because it needs to portray not just your bio, because that's only a small portion of it, but what is the benefit to the audience? What is it they're going to get from your speech? When we do one sheet at Conscious and Transformational Speakers, the whole top half, is a little bit is a condensed description of what it is that the audience can expect to get from it, and why you're the expert to provide that. And then underneath that are three of the different speeches that you're going to do, options that they can have you present, described and bullet pointed, so people can get a pretty good idea. So another thing that needs to be on your sell sheet is a good photo. And like we said the last time, the photo has to be current and not something taken 10 years ago, because they'll know the minute you walk in the door it's not the person that they were hiring. And then we also put testimonials on the sell sheet. So that's it needs to look very professional. It looks very nice. And, of course, you have to have a really good website, because the first thing that the booker is going to do is they're going to go look at your website after they've seen your sell sheet. And so it really needs to help sell you instead of to be a detractive factor. So now, we talked about, you know, you need a well-thought-out list of topics and descriptions and what they're going to be, because not everything is right for the same audience. You know, if you're doing something a little bit more corporate, you need to steer it that direction. If you're doing something toward men as opposed to women, you know, you need to break these out so people know what those options are and have really powerful descriptions for them. Now, here's something I can't emphasize enough. You need high-quality video of you speaking, not talking to the camera, but in a speaking situation. So if you have not done this and you would like to start speaking, we strongly encourage you to tape video, have somebody do a high-quality videotape of your next presentation, and then you can cut it down to snippets to use on the video that you use on your website. We actually, on our profiles, we ask all of our speakers to actually provide that kind of a video. And going into this, you want clarity on where you want to be booked and why. It's really critical to know who your target audience is and where you're going to find them. Because it's very different for somebody who's trying to do a program that drives business from someone who's trying to give somebody a program on how to find their soulmate. Or if you're doing a program on wealth as opposed to doing a program on health. So you need to know what it is that you're selling, obviously, from a topical standpoint, and where the audience is that you're going to reach out to them. You need to look at the list of the targets. Whether you want to speak regionally or nationally, and the types of venues and events that you want to be in, whether those are New Thought churches or They might happen to be health and wellness centers or yoga facilities or, you know, associations or universities. You know, so you need to plot it out before. You need to create a game plan so that you can go after the kinds of places that you want to do. Another issue is selling at the back of the room. You want to make sure that you have enough books, if you are providing those books for that venue, and you want to figure out going in, before you even get there, how that sales process is going to happen. Is the organization providing someone for you who can actually do those transactions while you're talking to people who want to come up and talk to you after the engagement? Or is that something that you have to do, or you bring an assistant? And one of the nice things today is there's a number of wonderful technologies that make this very, very easy, one of which is the Square, and another is PayPal, where you can attach these little apparatuses to your phone. And what's really effective is if you, before you ever get there, you actually log in the products that you have or packages of products and, if possible, the tax factors. And so then all you have to do is press the button, and it brings up that product. You press another button, you slide the credit card, and then everything is done. So that's especially good when you're handing it off to somebody and you're not doing it yourself, so they can do it really easily. You know, the nice thing on the Square, on my last engagement, I handed it to the folks that we were working with. I said, here are the little buttons to push, and I walked away, and they were able to do it without any trouble. So, you know, so think in terms of your back-of-the-room sales and what you have to do to make that smooth and easy. Another thing that if you're going to be booking your own speaking engagements, that you have a simple agreement. In some cases, you won't need any kind of an agreement, but then in some cases, you are going to need an agreement. And better that you should have one that stipulates what you want rather than letting them determine the terms. Another thing that we have discovered that I think is really important in the last few weeks is you need a flyer. And that's a flyer that your graphic designer can just make some slight changes to for whatever event you're going to. And that you can hand off to the organization for them to do promotion. You can then put it on your Facebook page. You can use it for publicity. You can use it for flyers as well. But it's a really good tool to have. So what are the types of venues that you can be looking at? I started to allude to that a few minutes ago, especially in the spiritual self-help area. You're looking at spiritual venues like Unity and spiritual living centers, and expos, and bookstores that are, you know, that are metaphysically or spiritually driven. Independent bookstores that are maybe not in that genre but are welcome this kind of content. You're also looking potentially at multi-speaker events where you can be one of several, and sometimes that's more informational. Sometimes it can be selling. Depends on what the venue is and the kinds of organization. You're looking at women's, men's groups, civic groups, community organizations. We're also booking, for example, Whole Foods because they like to do foods and conscious living content. We have a database of 14,000 meeting planners for associations. Who knew there were this many associations out there? And it might be the Association of Nonprofit This, the Association of Plumbers. It might be the Association of Women, University Women. There's just all kinds of associations out there. Of course, universities, many of them do conferences, have speakers on a regular basis. They're a little harder to book only because a lot of times the booking is done by students and it changes every year, so that you actually have to go hunting down the person that coordinates. Corporations, of course, this is the big get if you can get them, because obviously they pay, but they're also harder to get into and much harder for people with spiritual self-help content. You really have to gear it to more of how you can make them a more productive employee to be effective. So that leads us to how you can get these kinds of speaking engagements. One is to be very aggressive and pursue them on your own. And by going on the web, doing your homework, reaching out, You know, there are other, you know, and there are lists of some of these, but you actually have to purchase them and develop them. We actually have created lists that are that have all the holistic chambers of commerce and a variety of other kinds of organizations that we draw upon when we're doing speaking engagements. There are two organizations online that have a great deal of resource, and you can also get on their websites where you can list yourself as a speaker. And they don't outreach for you, but they are a great place to be listed. One is eSpeakers, and the other is the Women's Speaking Association. Both of those are of great value. And then, of course, then, you know, if you want to turn it over to somebody else, you have the opportunity of going to a speaker bureau or speaker representation service. Now, one of the things that we looked at when we decided to get into this business, when all these people were coming to me during the PR years saying, well, can you book us, can you book us? One of the things we realized is that one of the reasons they were asking is because they couldn't get into established speakers bureau, one, because they didn't necessarily have all the credentials, but two, because they weren't $10,000 and $20,000 speakers. And most of these speaking bureaus really are only going to be paying attention to their big money makers. The rest folks kind of languish on their list somewhere. But particularly people with spiritual self-help kind of content sort of get shuffled to the back and because they don't quite know what to do with you guys. But so we decided to become the champion and advocate for speakers who really want to move in these areas and transform lives. And that's why we started Conscious and Transformational Speakers. And our speaker representation service is designed to actually provide the kinds of arms and legs that you can't do for yourself. You're too busy building your businesses, et cetera. But we decided to do it in a different way because those services really, you know, they survive on their big names. We felt that in order to serve people at the level that we are, we actually have to have a monthly fee. Now, that's not always, because I'll tell you about the showcase in a minute. But if you want full-time representation, then we have a monthly fee. And and our program is broken up into two, a level one and a level two. In level one, that's where we reach outreach to you for all of these conscious venues that I talked about, and women's associations and community organizations and Whole Foods and all these kinds of things that are not likely to pay you, but in fact will give you a venue to sell more books and attract people into your organization, get them as coaches, et cetera. So the program that we have there is level one is $1,250 a month. We recommend 4 months, but we really aggressively go out there and try to make sure that you get great value for this. The second level is for paid speaking engagements, and that's where we focus on associations and universities and corporations. And that's, you know, and our goal, and the cost on that is $2,000 a month, but our goal is to get you that back for each month that you are back with us and also more so that you're in the plus column. But for many people who really don't have the resources to pay for a monthly full-time representation, we also have another option, and that's called Luminary Voices. And if you go to luminaryvoices.com, you can see it. And what that does is enables you to create a profile, and both speakers and performers who are transformational. It allows you to create a profile there, and then we are going to be driving the heads of New Thought churches and all these other organizations to there to find their next speakers. We're going to send them notes a couple times a year. Come on back. We have great speakers for you. So, and the price on that is only $250 a year. So we know that that's really affordable for most people, and it'll put you in a good place where you can be presented for many of these decision makers. So that's pretty much some of the key information that I think would be of value if you're actually looking at starting a speaker's career. And if you're already speaking and looking to get out in a bigger way. Now, we're going to have that resource page up on our website in the next couple of weeks on Conscious and Transformational Speakers, and there's going to be a lot of help there for you, too, if you're just getting rolling or you really want to hone your speaking. So we've got a lot of partners who we think are really terrific at this and can, and they're, and they, and they are oriented toward transformational speaking. So they really want to reach the kinds of people that you and we are. So and they are themselves. So it's really geared toward our community, so to speak. So that's you know, most of the things that I was going to put up front today, and I am more than happy to. Oh, you know, let me talk a little bit about confidence, because we talked about that. And here's one of the things that I want to suggest about building your own confidence. If you really want to be, you know, powerful on stage, the thing is you have to know your material and practice and practice. One of the things I discovered that when I did my radio media tour this year, and I was talked to 100 different radio shows on my book, Practical Conscious Creation, when I actually went to deliver my first in-person speaking engagement after that, I was so much more effective than I have ever been, because I knew exactly where I was going and I knew exactly how it would play out, and I followed my in that path because I had done it so many times. So that creates confidence. Another thing that is very important is to breathe beforehand. Get into the zone. You want to connect with your higher power. Barbara DeAngelis has a wonderful program that I learned this little trick from. Excuse me. You want to actually download a connection to you from the source through your heart, and then across the room into the hearts of all your speakers, and then back up through them. So it's kind of like a horseshoe, that it goes from source back to source. It really, when I do that, I have to tell you, it certainly makes my speaking much more effective. You want to go in visualizing a fantastic presentation beforehand. You want to create it in your consciousness before you step on stage. You know, I teach practical conscious creation. This is one of the steps. Visualize it. Imagine it's going to go perfectly, and I guarantee you it's going to make you feel better when you get out there, and it's more than likely to go really well. And then love your audience, and they will love you back. If you step onto that stage, I'm sorry, if you step onto the stage with love in your heart and loving your audience, then you're going to build that rapport with them, and they're going to love you back. So those are the things that I was going to address today, so I am open to questions.
Wow. You are just like the, ooh, a machine gun. Yes. You know, actually, the alternative that I was about to ask you is like someone that, like, I know, for instance, we have a couple of our hosts here, like Angela, and I'm giving the name Angela, you know, and like Shelly also, people that have been doing radio for a long time, you think that, you know, they wouldn't need to go to, like, Toastmasters or something like this, because, you know, they're very seasoned radio hosts, and, you know, not only been doing this for a long time, but there are, you know, quality, they have quality in their programming, and, you know, the type of interviews that they do is always very smart and enlightened. Do you think that a person like Angela or Shelly, and I'm giving an example, I'm not excluding anybody else, but I'm just trying to just, you know, start a dialogue here, won't necessarily need to go to a boss, you know, training? Or do you think it's case by case?
Well, I think that anybody can get better at what they're doing, especially when they're presenting on stage. And while you may be a wonderful communicator, there may be things that you do on stage that works differently than when you're talking on a physical realm. And you know, you may not be aware of it. And so somebody who's got lots of experience is going to spot that. And there are some great people that also can teach you in a weekend a lot of this stuff. So I would say that, you know, obviously if you've done a lot of speaking already and you're confident, maybe not. But if, in fact, you're just starting out, even though you've been doing radio for a long time, it never hurts to get a brush up.
Okay.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is Veronica, and I was wondering, I've done a lot of speaking at, you know, intuitive psychic fairs and such. In terms of really practical foods, you know, to eat or not eat, or, you know, having a drink of water, some fundamentals that would make it easier so that you don't have any kind of, I don't know, maybe smacking sound, you know. When is it appropriate to drink if you're giving a talk for an hour and a half, you know, those types of things?
Well, you can drink through any time throughout in the presentation. Everybody knows that, you know, you're going to get a dry throat every now and then, and you definitely should have water on stage when you get there. Either you bring it on, or preferably you have somebody bring it on before you. That's, I think, you know, really an important factor. And you do want to hydrate before you get there, but not too much, because you don't want to get being, you know, all of a sudden have your bladder tell you that you need to run off stage. So, you know, hydrate gently beforehand. But I would suggest that you eat so that you're not hungry, but don't overeat. Eat lightly. Eat the kind of foods that will satisfy you, but at the same time won't load you down, because one, you don't want a lot of carbs, because you're gonna that'll make you feel sleepy, and it you also don't want to just feel that heaviness in your stomach. You want to be light on your feet, so you know, eat the way that the healthy ways that we're taught to eat, vegetables and maybe some protein, and but don't overstuff yourself. Going on. So that would be my recommendation. Does that help, Veronica?
It does. It's just sometimes I find, and I don't know if it's an allergy, and I haven't been able to pinpoint it, but once in a while I'll just get this, like, you know, in my throat. And it's like, you know, what did I eat, or is it nerves that caused that, you know? And so since I haven't honed it in terms of foods, I'm thinking, so I actually have been dairy-free for a year and a half at this point. So generally, that's not as big of an issue, but what's interesting is that sort of post-nasal drip that'll suddenly come on in the middle of, you know, or just before, let's say, I'm going to speak.
As you heard me suffering with it here. But the one thing I will tell you is one of the best things I have discovered to get rid of mucus, and it's a great thing to take before something like this, is marshmallow root. It works almost instantly. It's great stuff. I use it any time, and even when I kind of fall off the wagon and have dairy the next day, I make sure that I take some marshmallow root. Two good capsules will really help with that.
Okay, that's kind of what I was looking for, is how do you really kind of not ensure, but somewhat ensure that your, you know, throat and your voice will be as clear as possible. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Awesome. Anybody else have questions for Jackie? Remember, this is a live session, you know, just with Jackie, unless she wants to come back one day. But, if you have questions, please do now unmute yourself or be silent forever.
Hello, this is Kathy. Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah. Okay.
Jackie, when we're presenting information to an audience, is there a preference, or is it up to the individual whether or not to hold notes or like cue cards or anything like that?
Well, now that's very interesting that you say that. The majority of speakers today do not. However, probably one of the most famous female presenters in the country, who is a former National Toastmaster and I think National Speakers Association Speaker of the Year, Barbara DeAngelis, actually uses note cards. And so while much of her stuff is extemporaneous, it is all choreographed from the cards in her hands. And she will go down that list as she's talking to you. So, yes, it's, you know, sometimes it can be distracting and you really need to be, you know, fairly established. But I also find that I don't mind working from a podium, or my notes are on the podium, and I could just glance down and I can talk to everybody and then take a quick look at the podium. But I personally, I love to work with a PowerPoint. Now, I know people make fun of that, but I love it because it allows me to not really be sitting there thinking about what do I have to talk about next as I'm trying to talk about the one thing I'm on now. and I'm not really worried about where I'm going and if I'm going to slip because it's right there. I just turn around or I look at the footlights and I go, oh, so, you know, and here we go now. So I find that that's a really helpful little prompt that gets me to follow where I want to go, and at the same time I can be in the moment with people as opposed to sitting and looking at a sheet of paper. Does that help?
It does, and I thank you for that. Some venues that I've been at, though, do not have the facility for PowerPoint presentation, which I understand in the larger venues is great. You know, they do have that. But some of the smaller, you know, get-togethers that you have or the smaller rooms that you may be speaking in, they may not have a projector or, you know, that facility there for the electronics to work.
Yes.
So that was my question.
It depends on how important it is for you to have that kind of stuff, because if it's really essential to you, then you need to go ahead and buy them and be able to bring them with you. And, you know, I mean, a little projector screen or even a wall works fine as long as, you know, you have a computer and a projector to it. And these days it's gotten a lot less expensive. But, yes, so, you know, a lot of times you're going to find that those rooms don't have that. And that's why, excuse me, you're in a more intimate dialogue with people than you are on a big stage. And, you know, a lot of times people are very forgiving. As long as you're not boring them, they don't mind if you're looking at paper. But you're better off to be practiced and be able to deliver it without looking at the paper, if you can. But in the beginning, sometimes it's more challenging to do that, especially sometimes when you're delivering, maybe you've already got some great speaking experience, but you're delivering a new speech that you haven't done before. And you really want to make sure that you've got it. So, yes, note cards are acceptable, but certainly don't rely on them and don't read from them.
Great. Thank you very much.
So, anybody else? I guess not. Okay, so I'm going to close this conference call thanking you, Jackie, again for your will to come and, you know, illustrate us and educate us on those, you know, little specifics that I think that everybody that's here are looking forward to improve themselves and really bring their message forward in the conscious community. And I think those tips and your teachings have been, you know, immensely appropriate and welcome to all of us. I will just close this. Thank you again, and saying that this conference call has been recorded and will be up on the website and promoted again, so everybody that didn't get to make it can listen to it, because the other one was like it hit a lot of people. Listen to the conference afterwards. So anyhow, I thank everybody that took the time to come here and ask questions. And everybody knows where to find Jackie. I will put again all her data and our contact information on the website so everybody can have everything. So Thank you.
Thank you, Liani, and thank you, Jackie. This is Gia. I was listening the whole time.
Thank you, everybody.
You just brought up the point about the PowerPoint, and I was going to ask about that, of whether you thought that was a good idea or not, because I didn't know if that would be a little bit too distracting if you were constantly looking at it, but I guess using it as a resource would be a good idea.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you, everybody, and Liani, always it's a
thank
joy.
You.
I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be here.
All right.
Great.
Thank you,
it was wonderful. Thank you, and namaste.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.